I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be thankful every day. You're the reason I'm redeemed, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day.
You have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer program intended to find answers from the Bible. The Bible is referred to by many, but not strictly followed in everything. Our focus is to let the Bible speak in all matters that have to do with life and godliness. This is a live broadcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it be read on the air. Or you could be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you come to the right spot on the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
You ask the question and we go to God's Word for the answer. And so, if you have a question that's been on your heart this week and you're looking for a Bible answer, we encourage you to go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's 308-9564. And as always, we'll let the Bible speak. Now, today we want to talk about this idea of being a Christian. You know, oftentimes we have various reasoning in our minds as to why we think that we are a Christian. And yet, when we look at, and so we want to ask the question today, am I a Christian if, and we'll just fill in the blank. Am I a Christian if I do this or if I do that? And we'll go to God's Word to find the answer.
This is a live broadcast, so you can call in right now. Your number to call in your question, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will be glad to let the question be interrupting us so that we can go right to the Bible for your answer. Because when all is said and done, when we stand before God one day, all that matters is what does God's Word have to say? And thus, we're not going to come up with a man-made opinion. We're not going to come up with I think or I feel or our church teaches. What we need to do is to see what God says in His Word. And thus, we're going to let the Bible speak. So make certain you go ahead and call in your question right now. The lines do fill up, and we do not want that to keep you from asking your question, as has happened in time past. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. 308-9564. The lines are now open and ready for you to call in your question. So have you ever wondered what is it that makes a Christian? Or maybe you've used this expression, am I a Christian because I, and you might add the word pray there. Well, certainly, I must be a Christian because I pray every day. Now, the Bible certainly tells us to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, Romans 12 and verse 12, also many other places where God tells us that we ought to pray. But is that what makes us a Christian? Maybe you would answer that question, am I a Christian because I go to church? Well, certainly the Lord tells us that we are supposed to assemble, to gather together, to stir one another up to love and good works, chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Or maybe your question or thought is, well, am I a Christian because I do good things for others and I do good works for others? Well, that certainly is necessary. The Lord tells us to do that which is good if we are to see good life in Peter's writings. Well, maybe you think I'm a Christian because I live such a good life. The Lord has blessed me with so many things that I can't help but be a Christian because I am so blessed. And a lot of times that's exactly what people think. They will qualify themselves, I must be a Christian because I am so blessed. Well, is that what qualifies us to be a Christian? So what is it that makes me a Christian? and what is it that does not make me a Christian? And so that's what we're exploring until you call in your question. Right now, you can go ahead and call in. 308-9564 is the number. 308-WJ&I. And we will let your question be next in line. So go ahead and call in your question right now. This is a live broadcast, and you can call in right now to have your question asked. 308-9564.
Well, one of the most popular reasons for a person to think that they may be a Christian is because of the good works that they're doing. In fact, there was one gentleman that's mentioned in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, and seemingly he was a good man. The Bible used the term devout as it talks about him in Acts chapter 10. The Bible talks about a man who was a centurion. He was a soldier, and he was over 100 soldiers. In verse 2, the Bible says he was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the poor, and prayed to God always. So here's a man that prayed. Here's a man that gave money to the poor. Here's a man that was guilty of doing good works. And so you look at this man, you think to yourself, well, absolutely, this man was saved. It's interesting, even when his servants go to describe him, they describe him as being a good man, and that even those who are on the outside, they saw him as being a good man in Acts chapter 10, verse 22. They say of Cornelius, they said that this man is a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews. Here's a man that had a good reputation even among those who would not really have anything to do with him because he was a Gentile. Even the Jews said that this man was a good man. And yet we still find that this man was not saved. And we find that out in chapter 11, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 14. What we find out is that he still needed to hear words whereby he and his household could be saved. And that means he was not saved, despite the fact that he was a man that was given to good works. Here's a man that helped the poor, and here's a man that prayed always, and he still was lost. Am I a Christian if? Again, that's something for you and I to think about. Am I a Christian if I do good works? Am I a Christian if I pray? Here's a man that did those things, and he still was not a Christian. To join us right now, you can, 308-9564. That's 308-WJ&I.
We have Pearl calling in this afternoon. Pearl, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for joining in as we let the Bible speak. And she calls in this question. Pearl asks, what is a Messianic Jew? What is a Messianic Jew? Well, Pearl, I would have to know the context in which you heard that phrase used to be able to really understand it. However, let me point out some verses of Scripture that may be being dealt with there. In Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 24 and all the way through verse 29, it talks about the old law, new law, and how that the old law was brought together for a guard. Verse 23 says, therefore, before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, under the law of Moses. Let me kind of go back a little bit to give you a little bit of history. God made a promise to Abraham, through your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac Jacob. Jacob was renamed as Israel. His family became Israelites. They grew after they went into Egypt and prospered from a family of less than 100 to several million, some guesstimate. And so his family grew so much that the Egyptians became scared of them and made them and put them in slaves. Well, 430 years later, God brought them out with a mighty hand, with the you remember the 10 plagues that were given to the Egyptians, and then finally they were let go. And they came to Mount Sinai. Now, for 400 years, over 400 years, they had seen the Egyptians worship everything from bugs to the sun to the moon. And so they had been very, if you will, initiated into idolatry, that idolatries that man had come up with. So he brings them out, and yet he told them to serve him and serve no other god. And so to keep them under guard, he gave them this law. And that's what this passage is talking about. We're in Galatians 3, verse 23. Before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Goes on talking about this in verse 28. He says, There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I skipped some things in that verse. Would love to spend time on that. But there's your answer, I believe. And that is, if we belong to Christ, if we are serving Him, and we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, then we are, if you will, Abraham's seed, as this puts it. If we belong to Christ, we're not talking about flesh and blood, and we're not talking about lineage. We're talking about accepting the covenant and the promise that God gave to Abraham so long ago. Then we are one of His seed. And I guess you could use that term, Jew. That was a man-made term, seemingly, to describe those people. Not by flesh, nor blood, nor lineage, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, that puts us into Christ, and we have the blessings that God promised to Abraham so long ago in the book of Genesis. Through your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, was the promise. And then Galatians here, verse 29, if you are Christ, that is, you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so hopefully, Pearl, that will help you a little bit. We do have lines available now. Go ahead and call in your question. If any of you have a Bible question, go ahead and call it in right now. 308-9564 is the number, and you can call in your question right now. 308-9564.
Yeah, we have another question from Marie. She says, am I a Christian if I believe in the Lord Jesus and call upon His name? Well, Marie, thanks for calling in. And this is absolutely a good question. One thing I would point out is in the book of James. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, it talks about a group of people that believe, and still they were not necessarily saved. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, it's talking about the demons. It says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. So even devils believe. So just believing in Jesus is not good enough. But notice also in Matthew, the 7th chapter, you talked about, well, what if I believe in the Lord Jesus and call upon His name? Well, in Matthew chapter 7, picking up in verse 21, Matthew 7 and verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And so just calling Jesus Lord is not enough. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And so again, what the qualifier here is, I make sure that I'm doing what He says. In verse 22, He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and we've not done that? And so these will be people who have done a lot of different things. And He says, I never knew you. You know, you who work iniquity or lawlessness, you know, doing things without authority. And so it's more than just believing in Him. It's more than just calling on His name. But I must also be a doer of His will. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, this is a good passage, listeners, so go ahead and take this passage down. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, though He was a son, talking about Jesus, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author, some translation says, the source of eternal salvation for all that obey Him. And so I must believe in Him. I must absolutely call His name, but I must follow that up by doing His will.
We want you to know that you're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is a live broadcast, and you can call in your question right now. We're going to let you know that we're fixing to offer something free of charge, and we're more than happy to send this information to you. In addition to what you're about to hear, we also want you to know that we're going to be able to send you this week a free DVD, which is an overview of the Bible. This DVD you can take and watch right there on your television set in your DVD player, and it will give you an overview of the Bible. Now listen closely. In this DVD, it covers things that you don't normally hear in church. You don't normally hear it even on this station. It covers things that are in the Bible that are often overlooked, and some of these subject matter, some of the things that are brought out from God's Word, are things that very well could keep eternity in jeopardy if you do not have this information. So please go ahead and call in and ask specifically, I want the DVD. And not only will we send you the DVD, we'll go ahead and send you a correspondence course as well. It is our pleasure to send this to you, and it's all free of charge. So pick up your phone and call right now and get this information. Here are the details. And if you want to, go ahead and call in your question here at the station while we're at this break, and we'll be glad to let your question be next in line. 308-9564 to reach us here at the station, 308-9564, and we'll be glad to let your question be next. Or if you want the DVD and that free information, here are the details on that. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. Please take a moment to write this number down, 308-9564. You can call 843-308-9564 during the program to ask your questions live on the air, or have someone read it on the air for you, and we'll answer it. Call now before the lines fill up. Again, that number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI.
All right, today you've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. Again, our focus has been on letting God's Word give us the answer to our questions. So if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564.
And I just want to apologize. We didn't give you the right information there in that break, and so here are the information. If you want the free DVD, you can call 553-5157. That's 553-5157. That is the number to call for the operator standing by, and we will be glad to send you that DVD, which is free of charge, and it's our honor to send it to you. It'll come in a few days, and you can watch it and get back with us. And we'll also send you a correspondence course by the same title, The Big Picture of the Bible. Again, that there's an operator standing by right now at 553-5157, and we will be able to give you that and send you that information. Again, one more time, go ahead and call. If this line is busy, just go ahead and pause for a moment or two and then hit redial, and maybe you can get through. 553-5157, and we will be glad to send that information to you.
To join us right now, all you have to do is call the station right now, 308-9564. That's 308-9564. Go ahead and get your question in, and we'll go to God's Word for the answer. Today we've been talking about this question, am I a Christian if I do good works, if I believe, if I call upon the name of the Lord? Do these things make me a Christian, or is there more to it? Well, what if I am able to seemingly do miracles or seemingly do wonderful works? Does that make me a Christian? Does that make me, can I be assured that I'm going to be saved? Well, I take you back to Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, we read this passage earlier, where it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Verse 22 is key. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? So here's some folks that seemingly did miracles and still doesn't mean that they were saved, because look at what he says in verse 23. He says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So not even doing seemingly miracles, if you will, means that I'm saved, means that I'm a Christian. In fact, we read over in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, in Acts chapter 8, go ahead and turn. And while you turn, I just want to make mention again, if you'd like to join us in our discussion, you can. 308-9564, 308-9564. In Acts the 8th chapter, we are told about a man by the name of Simon, and he's known to us oftentimes as Simon the Sorcerer. But I want you to understand something about this man. Here's a man that had the ability to seemingly do wonders and signs, seemingly. And when I say seemingly, well, the thought is that they thought his power was genuine, when in fact it was not. In Acts chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible says, but there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Now, he wasn't, but he gave the impression. Here's a man that had the ability to give seemingly miracles, and still this man was a sorcerer. This man still was lost. This man still had to obey the gospel and had to be baptized into Christ. Am I a Christian if? If I do this, if I do that, if I pray, am I a Christian? If I do good works, am I a Christian? Even if I seemingly have miraculous powers, am I a Christian? So far, what we've found out is that that doesn't make you a Christian. So join us right now, 308-9564, 308-9564.
Now, to get the DVD that we're offering today, you need to call 553-5157. There's an operator standing by there, and we'll be glad to send this DVD to you free of charge. It is an overview of the Bible, and it pulls, as you fly over, as you go through and scan through the Bible, it pulls out things that are not commonly taught in the gospel message, the full gospel message. And so you would want to carefully go through and look up every passage that is referred to in that study, and we're more than happy to send this to you free of charge. That number is 553-5157, and in the process, we will send you a correspondence course that is free as well. Again, everything we offer on this broadcast is absolutely free. Jesus nor the apostles ever asked for money in the Bible. Churches were not begging their people for money. Matter of fact, that is not a practice we see in the Bible at all. And you might wonder, well, why is that a practice that is so commonly done today? It is because there are so many things that man has come up with that God never told us to be involved with, and it costs money to do those things, from building fantabulous buildings to coming up with all kinds of programs to many wonderful works. Wait a minute, that sounds like the verse of Scripture we were just reading, doesn't it? Yes, and Jesus said, I never knew you, depart from me. And so it's not going to be the works. It's not going to be all of these fantastic programs that man has come up with. The Lord wants us to be about His work, and He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to bring salvation to mankind, and that is done through obeying the truth. We must find what God has to say, follow it, and that's the way, the truth, and the life that He wants us to have if we're going to make it to heaven. Call right now. You can call in your Bible question, 308-9564, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. That number here is 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. 308-9564.
Am I a Christian if? Am I a Christian if I'm in the choir? Does that make me a Christian? In fact, we have a question coming in from a caller, and my thinking is that the passage that we're going to cover along this line will answer your question concerning music in the church. Am I a Christian if I'm in the choir? Well, God never intended for the worship to be a spectator sport, if you will. You don't go there to sit in a chair and to be entertained, but rather worship is something we give to God. When the Scriptures talks about singing in the church, we're talking about specifically in the church, when the Scripture talks about singing, it's very clear on it.
Are you talking about a building?
No, I'm talking about the people.
Oh,
the
okay.
Church is the called out. It's those who've been called out of sin. In fact, the Greek word there is ekklesia. It doesn't refer to a building, but it refers to those who've been called out of sin into Christ. And so when the Bible talks about singing in the church, that is to say, among God's people, it is very specific. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, we have at least one example of what they were told to do or how they were told to sing, and specifically in the church. Now, what we can't do is go back to the Old Testament worship and go back to the Jewish style of worship and apply that to the church, because, again, this is the church dispensation, not that of the law of Moses. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 19, the Bible says, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, where? Here it says, in your heart to the Lord. We find a similar passage in the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 16, Paul says just about the same thing. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace, where? In your hearts to the Lord. And thus, the music that we find in the church is where folks got together. Folks, when I say folks, I'm talking about Christians. They got together and they sung. and they sung psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and they made melody in their heart to the Lord. We ought to follow the same pattern. But now, if I'm part of, if I'm even just in their singing, does that make me a Christian? No. This is one of the requirements that, that a Christian has in worship. But just singing songs don't make me a Christian. Am I a Christian if? Again, the number to call to join us in our discussion is 308-9564, 308-9564.
Again, this is a live broadcast, and you can call in your question as the lines come available. Go ahead and call in, 308-9564. We want to go ahead and let you know and remember that we're offering a special DVD today, and that is if you've never received this DVD before, be sure to call in, and we'll be glad to send it to you. It is an overview of the Bible. It's called The Big Picture of the Bible. And you'll find things as you look and study through this that you've never heard before. You won't hear some of these things in church. You won't hear it in denominations today or in the common churches of the land. And so we want you to know that this is a free offer and more than happy to send this to you free of charge. That number is 553-5157. And we will be glad to let the Bible speak to your question while we're at break. If you want to go ahead and call in your question now, 308-9564 is the number, and we'll be glad to take your question here at the station. But let me give you the, here's the information for the free DVD, and be sure to specifically ask for it, and we will send this to you. Here are the information, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157, and the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study. A 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day. 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Be sure to ask for the DVD when you call that number, and we'll be glad to send that to you free of charge. You'll find that very informative. Everyone I've known to go through and really study through it, they have gotten so much from that. Even looking at somebody right now, they're just nodding their head. They said, yes, sir, that's right. There's a lot in that, and you'll be blessed by studying through the information that is on that DVD. We have Johnny calling in this afternoon. Johnny, thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. We hope and pray that today's broadcast is being a blessing to you. And his question goes like this. He says, is the curse of Ham, or what is the curse of Ham, and was it a curse based upon race or to even begin a race? And, Johnny, I've heard that through the years, and a lot of people will say that because, of course, those of you that do not know this, Noah had three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And each boy and their families, as they started to repopulate the earth, migrated in three different directions. And Ham's family migrated toward the south in an area that we now call Africa. Now, if you'll notice in Genesis chapter 11 and following, there are some other places where all of the continents of the earth seemingly may have been just all joined together, as maybe some of y'all learn in school. And there was one of the descendants that followed after the flood whose name was Peleg, and he was named that because the land was divided during his time. And so when you look and see, do research on his name, that's what his name means, and that's why he was named that. So we can't readily say, that as far as, because they would have rode the continent wherever it was going to go, as far as they're concerned, to wherever it landed to where it is today. But anyway, Ham went toward that, most conclude. And because of that, and because most of the people in Africa are black in origin, they would say, well, that was the curse. Well, that is just absurd. There is nothing in the scripture to say that that was part of a curse. Nothing. There was something because he looked at his dad's nakedness and there was a mark placed upon him, but there is nothing to conclude it has anything to do with race. Matter of fact, every scientist and medical professional knows that race has to do with environment, nothing to do with any kind of curse that God has placed upon anyone. And so those people that live up into the colder climates, they're more fair-skinned because there's less direct sunlight there. Their eyes have migrated to blue, rather as a rule, rather than keeping the brown color that some of the others have. And so, yes, the environment changes us and makes various races. A matter of fact, what we eat has something to do with that. Whether we're red skin, black skin, brown skin, yellow skin, or any other color, it has to do with the environment and has absolutely nothing to do with any curse that God has placed upon man. Johnny, I hope that helps you. Don't buy into some of these things, these myths that people have come up with through the years. Let the Bible speak. And so as you look at the passage there, it's recorded in Genesis chapter 9. You'll see it has nothing to do with color of skin. Thanks, Johnny. Thank you for tuning in and thank you for listening. The number here, if you'd like to call in your question right now, is 308-9564, 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak to the question on your heart.
We have another question here. The caller is Dolores. She says, if you've been saved and not walking in righteousness, does that leave the door open to sin and spiritual warfare? And what do you need to do about it? Well, Dolores, again, we appreciate your calling. And absolutely, if you've been saved, that is to say you've done what the Bible says in order to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you turn back into sin, that absolutely does leave the door open for spiritual warfare and for sin, absolutely. And so what do I need to do? Well, it's interesting, and I want to take you to a passage in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, here's what God says. He says, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins, which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgression which he has committed shall be remembered against him, because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Verse 23, do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, that's what you're talking about, Dolores, here's a person that's saved, and they turn away from that state, that they turn away from righteousness. But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, that word iniquity means wickedness or sin, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them, he shall die. And so once we're saved, we have to continue to do the things that God says in order to stay in a right relationship with him. And if I don't do that, then I absolutely am in danger of falling away. The Bible talks about in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, talks about those who walk in the light. And so I must continue to walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse me of my sins. Go ahead and read that text in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It is time for us to take another break. I want to encourage our listeners to go ahead and call, even while we're at break. Again, the number is 308-9564. 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Be sure to call in for that DVD today, and we will be more than happy to send that to you free of charge. It's as you call in that number, make certain you ask for the DVD. Matter of fact, we have a caller calling in and asking this question today. I wish you had left your name. I would have been able to call you by name and know who to ask for. But here they called in, what explain the three feasts in the Bible? Actually, there are several feasts in the Old Testament. There's the Passover. There is the Pentecost. There is the Day of Atonement. There are actually about six major feasts that they celebrated and followed in the Old Testament. So the caller, whoever you are that called in and asked about this, would you go ahead and call the number 553-5157? And when you get that number, tell the operator to send you the chart. I'll send you a chart on all the feasts in the Old Testament and their meaning and all that's involved in that. Again, that number is 553-5157, and we'll send that to you free of charge again. And it's a chart that goes through and gives you a great deal of detail on all those feasts. Go ahead and call the operator right now, 553-5157. We have Ben again calling today. Thank you, Ben, for being a consistent listener. We're so glad that you have tuned in today. His question is based in Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, which says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." He wanted to know, what does that mean, the desires of my heart? Well, obviously, Ben, we have to let the Bible answer the question or interpret the question. And we see throughout the Bible that we cannot just ask anything that we want. For example, Jesus in the garden asked, "Let this cup pass from me," talking about the crucifixion. "Nevertheless, what not my will, but thy will be done." So we can't let our heart go against what God wants. And so it must be according to His will if we are going to be pleasing to Him and we're going to receive the desires of our heart. Matter of fact, a parallel verse to that, if you would like to study more on it, is in James chapter 1, I believe it is. When I get there, I'll let you know. And it talks about that whoever prays or asks amiss, he asks that he may spend it to his own desires, and thus he does not receive. And so that's James chapter 1, beginning with, verses, starting in verse 13, 14, 15, talking about temptation, and reading on through there, you find out that if anyone, they pray and they do not receive because they are asking to spend it on their own desires. And so it must be according to God's will if we are to be pleasing to Him. And so the book of James is where to find that. We've got to let it be according to God's will. Asking according to His will, and He will grant the desires of what we want. Now, the next verse, again, goes on talking about trusting in the Lord and His ways and lean not upon our own own understanding, Proverbs 3, verses 3 through 5. And so it's our heart must be shaped by His heart for those desires to be fed. And so, Ben, I hope that helps a lot. We got a lot of calls, a lot of questions coming in today, and we sure do appreciate it. They're piling up. We're going to try to get to them as quick as we can. Again, the number is 308-9564. We don't want you to miss out on the DVD offer today. Be sure you call for that, which is 553-5157, and we'll send that in the mail to you.
We have this call coming in from Gwendolyn. We appreciate you calling. She says, what should one do if they don't feel worthy of God's love? Well, Gwendolyn, a very good question. You will simply feel like the rest of us, because there is nobody on this planet that is worthy of God's love. What do? You humbly accept His mercy. What do? You humbly accept His grace. And you continue to understand that you're not worthy. The Bible says something in Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 8, that should capture our heart. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible talks about how that God demonstrated His love and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us while we were His friends. He died for us when we were His enemies. What do? If you're not worthy or you don't feel worthy of God's love? Well, you're feeling right, because there's not a single person on this earth that is worthy of His grace, of His mercy, of His kindness, of His tender touch. And yet, by His grace, He does give it to us. What do? I need to obey Him. If you need more information on that, go ahead and call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157. 553-5157. And stay tuned. Towards the end of the program, we're going to talk a little bit more about this idea of am I a Christian if, and talk about what does it take to be a Christian? What does it take to obey Him? So we want you to stay tuned. Again, you can call 553-5157 for more information on this, but go ahead and stay tuned. To join us right now, you can 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have Carol calling in this afternoon. Carol, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for tuning in. Her question is, if someone is saved, can they fall back into sin and lose their salvation? Carol, as always, we always want to go to what the Bible says, and here is what God says concerning that. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, talking about the old law and new law, if someone goes back to the old law, it says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you are fallen from grace. Now, Carol, I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says. And so, yes, there's one way to cause someone to fall from grace. The Bible speaks of someone, their faith becoming shipwrecked. And also, it encourages you to read the last two verses of the book of James. James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Talks about someone falling away, a brother falling away, and then coming back, and the process of coming back saves a soul from death and hides a multitude of sins. And so, according to these verses, Carol, yes, that is very possible. Galatians 5, verse 4, and James 5, 19 and 20. There are other verses as well, but that does answer your question. Carol, thank you for calling in and asking that question today. And we hope you'll tune in every week at Sunday afternoons this afternoon, like today at 2 o'clock. And we're letting the Bible speak. You can call in your question. We have the lines available right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak.
We have another question from Gary. Gary calls this question in. He says, some people, /churches, don't believe in miracles, laying on of hands. Does this still happen? That is to say, miracles. Do miracles still happen today, or only during the time of the apostles? Well, Gary, I like to answer this way. It's slightly different than the way I would normally do it. I'm going to answer this question by asking you two questions. And the two questions I'll ask in just a moment. What we'll simply establish is that miracles, signs, and wonders were done for two specific reasons. One, it was done in the giving of revelation. And two, it was done to confirm revelation. And so the two questions is, if there is still revelation being given, you have to answer that question, then you'll say, well, yes, then there has to be miracles. And if there's still revelation that needs to be confirmed, and then there would still need to be miracles and signs from that standpoint. Notice the example, though, that we find in the Scripture. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, Jesus talks, or we actually have Mark talking here, but just prior, Jesus was talking, and Jesus had promised his disciples these signs and wonders. I'm going to start back in verse 17. He says, "And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." And verse 20, the Bible says, "And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." And so the miracles, these signs, were designed to confirm the word that was being preached. And so if the word still needs to be confirmed, then absolutely we would need miracles. If there's still new revelation, then absolutely we would still need miracles. But we seem to think that the Bible is God's revelation. So either it's complete or it's not complete. You have to answer the question. Thanks for calling.
And the Bible itself says it is complete, so if we're going to take it as is, then we need to just listen to the Bible and let the Bible speak. Thus, the name of this program is Let the Bible Speak. We have a live caller standing by. We do want you to know before we turn your volume up that please turn your radio down because there will be an echo and a feedback, and we do not want that to occur. And also, as you want to go, all of you that want to go live, we want you to give us your name so we can address you by name. It's just absolutely, you know, we just want to be kind and polite, and to just call you caller is kind of rude. And so we want to actually address you by name. So those of you that do want to go live, make certain that you give us your name. Okay, caller, you're next in line. How can we help you?
Hi, my name is Phyllis.
Yes, Phyllis.
I have a question about the creation.
All right.
I was reading in Genesis the other day, where God, where I'm driving right now, so I can't read my word, but where he said that he created them, both male and female, he created them.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
Right then he's talking about them. He created, it's plural. He's talking about male and female. And then further along, then it goes into the story about how he created Adam. And so from my understanding of study, the first time where he talks about he created man, that word man meant mankind, right?
Right.
Okay,
well,
so the time that he created mankind, there were others created other than Adam and Eve.
Well, and that's a common misnomer. Have you ever read a table of contents in the front of a book?
Yes.
Okay, is that the entirety of the book, or does it give you a sketch outline of what the book is like?
Outline.
Yeah. And so Genesis, the first part, it gives a sketch outline in the first few verses. Then he expands on it and giving a day-by-day account of what occurred next. And then he zooms in on the creation of his most fabulous creation that he made, and that was man himself, and how that he created them male and female. And so it is like each level he gives more detail and focuses in more detail on the whole purpose of creation. Notice he didn't give detail in making lizards or making dinosaurs during that
right.
time. He focused in on his most marvelous creation, as David put it, and that was man. And so each step, you know, is like a table of contents, an expanded table of contents, and then he gives some details that he really wants us to know. But it's all talking about the same thing. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because I was thinking, is this in order or what?
Yeah, yeah. And so it's what
okay,
it's just kind of
right.
levels of contents
okay, so
to follow.
So then when it says that he created man and that he's talking about mankind.
Right.
So does that mean then that that everyone came from Adam and Eve and there was...
Absolutely. Yes, that's
okay,
right.
So then, I guess at the beginning they married each other's.
Yes, it was not against the law
and all that.
Right. It was there was no law that God made
right.
that you could not
okay.
marry your own kin until Moses' time, a few thousand years later, and the scientists know why, because our genes were absolutely perfect to begin with, but over time
wow.
things run down and go disorderly. And so now, of course, there's more and more sickness as mankind continues because our genes are breaking down. We're becoming more disorganized as time goes on. That's the law of entropy. I can't even say the word. And things are getting more disorganized. And so that is just normal. And thus the law in Moses' time was you aren't supposed to marry close kin.
Okay, so in the land of Nod, do you think there were people in Nod, or
did
he take his wife to Nod?
Well, there were lots of people, because, see, they lived a long time, 800-900 years, and if like today, half of that time that they lived, they were productive in having children. They were under command to populate the earth. So how many children could you have in 500 years?
Right.
Okay, that's a scary thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so... So if you think about it, by the time child one and child 500 of Marian age, would they even be close because of that? Yeah, see, it wasn't like today. They could have had very big families. Matter of fact, if the timeline is consistent, which I don't think it is in the scriptures, because God didn't necessarily give every detail of every generation, but if it were, then Adam, before he died, would have known his great 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 grandchild.
Wow!
So it was different world before the flood. After the flood, everything does not live as long.
Wow!
So the earth was entirely different. They've already proven and even replicated the atmosphere and the barometric pressure in biospheres around the world, and in those biospheres, just nothing dies. Everything continues to live. But it's very expensive to maintain such an atmosphere as was before the flood. Does that make sense?
Oh, I am so glad you answered my question, because that's just been bothering me all week. And I was saying, Lord, who can I ask this to? And then I get in my car and you're on the radio.
Well, there you go. The Lord answered the prayer. Well, thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in your question.
Thank you so much.
All right. Be sure to tune in every week.
Okay, I will.
All right, then.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is a live call-in question and answer program, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak to your question that's on your heart. The last one had to do more with science, and I kind of apologize for that, although she was tickled about it. But, yes, the world was different before the flood. People did live longer, and we must go to God and be prepared to meet Him and see what He wants in His Word. We are offering a free DVD today. If you would like to call in for that, and we would be glad to send this to you, you can call the operator standing by right now at 553-5157, 553-5157. We'll send this to you free of charge. It gives you an overview of the Bible. Matter of fact, on this DVD, it covers things you've never heard in church. And so you do not want to miss this. So go ahead and call in 553-5157, and we will send that to you free of charge.
Join us now. You can call 308-9564, 308-9564. We have just about 8 minutes left, so go ahead and get your call in. If you have a question and you're looking for a Bible answer, we will try to get it in. We have several questions here on deck, and so go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have Sue and Denny calling in this question from Somerville. Thank you for listening. And their question is simple. What descendants did cavemen come from? Well, Sue, Denny, I hate to say this, but you came from cavemen. I've met cavemen. I know a lot of cavemen living right now in caves. Matter of fact, here in America, there's a lot of people that dig out the earth, and they still live in caves today. What is a caveman? They're still a man. They're just living in a cave. And so... yeah, there are still cavemen today. I'm not trying to be funny, but that's really what a caveman is. Man has always been man, and animal has always been animal, and we reproduce after our own kind. And so we are descendants. Matter of fact, you may know someone, too, that lives in a cave.
I believe we have a live caller.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, how are you doing?
Fine. How can we help you?
I'm doing pretty good. I was just calling to ask you a question about the guy who asked about the caveman. It kind of almost threw me for a loop, because I was about to ask a similar question. I know we have what we say, the remnants of dinosaurs. And when you said that, you know, before the flood, a lot of things changed after the flood or whatever. I was just kind of wondering. I always wonder, because I don't remember it being mentioned in the Bible besides, like, the great whale or whatnot. But do you know where could I read about dinosaurs in, you know, around the Bible?
Okay, do you have access to the internet?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if you go to bible.ca and click on the dinosaur or fossil button, You will find all the information you ever wanted to know about dinosaurs and man living with them at the same time. Bible.ca. We do not necessarily agree with the whole site and everything on there, but there's a good information there that will help you in that quest. That's Bible.ca. CA stands for Canada. And hit the fossil button.
Is it a pretty reliable website?
Yes, and a lot of things. There's a lot of good information there. It's not necessarily a denominational site that we would necessarily wholeheartedly agree with, but that information on there is right on, and so you'll get a lot of information.
Yeah, because I was just more so wanting to get, like, accurate information, because you get taught different things in school, but mm-hmm. I wanted to kind of learn it from a biblical standpoint.
Oh, it is accurate, and it is well-documented as well. There's pictures, videos, everything.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. Again, you're listening to Let the Bible Speak. We've just got a few more minutes left, and so be sure to call in your question. If we don't get to it today, we'll get to it next week. So be sure to go ahead and call it in for fear that you might not get on your question here. But they're piling up on us, and we'll do our best to get to them. Again, the number here is 308-9564. As we're fixing to answer the next question, we want you to know you can call in and get the DVD free, 553-5157. If you've never ordered that, be sure you do that. And we'll send that to you free of charge. All right, we have several questions.
Before we ask this next question, again, go ahead and call right now. We're running out of time. 308-9564. 308-9564. I think it would be prudent for us to kind of sum up some of the things we talked about today, specifically this idea of, am I a Christian? I don't want us to end this broadcast without finishing that statement. Am I a Christian if I do this or if I do that? I'm a Christian, and one of our callers called in and says, I've been baptized, and I believe, and I've repented. Are you still a Christian? Well, and that's some of the steps that's involved with being a Christian. But you see, I can't do some of the steps in order to be a Christian. I must do all the things that the Bible says. You'll hear a lot of times in the religious world that, well, you just believe and you're saved and you're a Christian. But the Bible says much more than believe. The Bible does say repent. And some people say, well, just repent, and then you're a Christian. But the Bible says much more than repent. And so I can't just do some of what it says. I have to do all of what it says. Well, what does it say? Well, it tells me that first I must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, how that Jesus came to this earth, and how that he died, and how that he was buried, and how that he was resurrected by the power of God. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul calls it first importance. That's the gospel message. Jesus came to this earth. He died. He died for your sins because you were in need of a Savior. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, once you hear that message, you're going to do one or two things. You're going to believe it or you're not going to believe it. If you believe it, you need to repent. And that word repent means to have a total change of heart. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 says, repent or you shall all likewise perish. And once you repent, then you need to make a confession of faith, that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, that's what they did in the first century when the church was established. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 talks about this confession. But this confession only gets you unto salvation. Then you need to be baptized. Baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remissions of sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says that baptism is for the remissions of sin. Now, that word remission carries with the idea of removal. And so my sins can't be removed until I'm baptized. Oftentimes you hear the question, can I be saved without being baptized? Well, if baptism is for the remission of sins, if that's the way I get my sins removed, can I be saved in my sins, or do I need my sins removed? You can answer that question, and you'll see that baptism absolutely was part of the plan. And that was God's plan. Once I'm baptized, I must then live faithfully until death, doing all that he says. I must go into the Word of God and learn all things that he has taught and apply those to my life.
We are so thrilled that you have taken out time on your Sunday afternoon to join us to Let the Bible Speak. This is a free broadcast, free Bible course, free DVD. Everything we offer is absolutely free. Please do not send us your money. Now, how often do you hear that? But we want you to know that the gospel was free. It is free. We do not ask for money. Neither did Jesus or the apostles, nor should we. We want you to know that the gospel is free. God wants you to be free from sin, and there's only one way to do that, by following that gospel message. It is our honor to let the gospel message come forth free. Please, tune in next week at this time. Be sure to call the operator standing by for the free DVD today, and we will be glad to send that to you, and then study it diligently. Thank you for listening today. Tune in next week.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you, so each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.